For 6 weeks during 1972, all 17 rooms of this house in Los Angeles were transformed into an environmental art piece.
Back in 1972, a couple of contemporary artists created an installation that explored what it means to be a woman. It was called Woman House. They transformed a deserted Hollywood mansion into an expression of womanhood, femininity, and its challenges.
They explored these new feelings about themselves and about women's role in the home until they created, before the eyes of the public, the longings, fears, and dreams women have as they cook, sew, wash, and iron their lives away.
But feminism looks a lot different than it did 50 years ago. So now, a group of Detroit artists are reinterpreting the concept of Woman House.
We are currently writing what modern feminism really looks like now.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, we're talking with two key players in this revamped installation. Jessica DeMuro Graves is one of the contributing artists, and Laura Earle is co-curator of the installation. Laura's going to start by giving us some background on the premise of the original Woman House back in 1972.
Yes, so 50 years ago, the art world was even more heavily dominated by white male artists than it is today. And at that point in time, there were two women artists in particular who wanted to create an educational program for women artists at the college level, and that was Judy Chicago and Miriam Shapiro. And they launched the feminist art program at CalArts, or California Institute of the Arts, in 1972 with the project Woman House. And in that project, they took over a mansion in LA, and the artists who were enrolled in their class transformed it into a whole house art installation. And in doing so, they were able to learn the kinds of skills that they needed to build sculptures and other forms of art media that at that point in time were not available to them readily at the college level.
What appealed about bringing this contemporary art classic into a more contemporary setting?
When I was in graduate school, there was a feminist arts seminar that I was involved in. And while we were learning about Woman House, we just kept asking ourselves, I wonder what women would make work about today. Like, what has changed and what is different now? And as we kept asking that question week after week, finally, I said, you know, let's just find out. So in 2018, we took over a 3,000 square foot house in Manchester, Michigan, and we worked collaboratively to transform that space into a conversation about what it was like to be female today, and a response kind of across the decades to those first artists. And that was called Dear Woman House. And then now, a few years later, especially when the climate has changed so much as far as what's happening for women in America today, we decided it was a great time to do this project again, change the geography a little bit so that now we're looking at what's it like in an urban space at this moment in time, in the middle of a pandemic, when women's rights are under fire by legislation in Texas.
Right. Laura, could you describe the space?
Sure. So the house is on the northwest side of Detroit. It is where my co-curator, Asia Hamilton, grew up. It's probably a 1,200 square foot house, a typical Detroit neighborhood house. And it's two stories, and we've got about 8 different spaces that are being transformed by the artists.
As I mentioned, Jessica DeMuro Graves is one of the contributing artists. And I want to know, Jessica, when you got involved in this project, did you go in knowing what you wanted to make?
Well, when I was invited to be a part of it, my first instinct was, oh, I have to be a part of this for a number of reasons. I prioritize a lot of my work around women's issues and the safety of those things. But in addition to that, Judy Chicago has always been a big inspiration to me. And knowing the legacy of Woman House, it was kind of a little bit of a career dream to be involved in something like this. And in addition, I had just recently found out that I was pregnant at the time and decided that I really wanted to create this, just turn this whole space into a womb. And I imagine that the pregnancy had some influence on that, but also just as a healing space. We don't often get the opportunity to return to the womb, if ever.
Yeah.
So all these things started to formulate in my head of what I could do and how I could create that. And in one of our first meetings, I had said to Laura and a lot of the women that were there at the first meeting that I had sparked this idea of transforming, I should say, an entire room in the house into an immersive womb experience. And Laura immediately was like, oh, yes, let's do this. About halfway through the process of planning the womb space or the womb room, I had a really devastating miscarriage. And so at one point, for a split second, I thought, I don't think I can do this project. It might be too much. And then after maybe a few deep breaths, I had realized that my feelings about why I wanted to create the womb space didn't change because of that, maybe perhaps rather enhanced because of that experience and the necessity to have that around, especially with all of the things that a womb can entail and create.
Right. Can you describe what people will see when they enter the space?
Yeah, it would be, Laura and I refer to it an artistic interpretation of a womb. It's very immersive. You can quite literally walk inside, sit down in a beanbag, a giant beanbag. We have been referring to it lovingly as the placenta beanbag. you can sit in there. There will be audio soundscapes happening as well and vignettes. So it will quite literally feel like you are inside a womb. It will be dimly lit to kind of keep that warmth feeling going on. So I hate to give too much information because I really think that each person is going to have a different experience.
I was thinking a lot about Jessica's installation and the experience of being in there. And as you go into the space, it takes a minute for your eyes to really adjust so you can get your bearings in this new world that she's created. And I think that experience of making the choice to stay in there as your eyes adjust, to constantly be searching for the little details to teach yourself the contours of this new space is really amazing. As you do that and you take the time and you really slow down, then you can start to see what's happening in the space around you. When you choose to actually leave, it's very dramatic. I love how she's made this space where time really has to slow down because of the physiology of the viewer.
Right. Jessica, I really appreciate the fact that you're open to talking about the fact that you had a miscarriage in the midst of your process for this. And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but the womb is a place, as you mentioned, that we think of as being the ultimate insecurity. And you went through this really awful experience, which makes plain the fact that the womb can also be a place where very awful things happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that comes across at all in how you ultimately visualize this installation, but was there any way that you were trying to talk about the ambiguity of the experience of the womb?
Outside of it being explicit inside this in the statement about the womb itself, you know, I think that when you walk in there, there's going to be some ephemeral that maybe even some would say represents bleeding or shedding. So I think that there's, for me, it's both things are happening inside that space at once. It just, I think with art, a lot of times it's, we are in subconsciously or unconsciously or even consciously having dialogue as the audience with the piece that we are confronted with. And so different people are going to come out of that experience with different things. Some people are going to be there and feel really uncomfortable. Some people are going to be there and feel really healed or really comforted. And in a way, you know, the womb, like we were saying, is this ultimate place of creation, but it is also this place that can be of destruction. And for women who are still pre-menopause, and still have uteruses, they are often experiencing this cycle of creation and destruction monthly. So this is something that's happening constantly inside women's bodies. It is this death, birth, and rebirth cycle.
We need to take a quick break. In a minute, womanhood in 2021, and more on what to expect at the revamped Woman House Detroit installation.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Laura, there are more than a dozen artists who are involved in this. What's the range of subjects that some of the artists have chosen to talk about?
It's interesting to me to see the range. So it's everything from making a statement about standing up for women's rights as citizens who deserve privacy protection, the same as anyone else, to concerns about the environment for future generations, to wrestling with being both the oppressed and oppressor as members of two cultural communities, to a lot of spiritual ascent and healing. There is a significant portion of the house is addressing the aftermath and continuing losses of COVID-19 and what it's like to live through a pandemic. So there's a huge range of work.
Yeah. We're in an era in which we tend to talk about a female identity very differently than people used to when the original Woman House came to life. Mm-hmm. How are you and the other folks working on the curatorial end? How are you trying to frame this so that a range of female-bodied people or people who identify as female have a place in the exhibition?
That really happened foundationally when we first started to look at creating a platform for the artists to freely express their perspectives. We were very careful to invite people who were able to do installation types of projects, but that came from a whole variety of backgrounds. And we trusted that given this freedom for expression that they would bring to the table what was important to them at this moment. And then the goal all along curatorially has been to help them elevate their work and amplify their voices so that they can share their perspective.
Jessica, I wonder if I can turn back to you for a minute. Your piece of this, your installation, Womb Room, essentially takes up an entire space in the house. Were there any logistical challenges in this that you hadn't ever experienced before?
Oh, were there ever? I think this may be the most labor-intensive installation that I have done to date. It required a lot of extra hands with fabrication. I have a profound appreciation for Laura's husband, Rich, and my friend and assistant, Sarah, who came in and really helped take this from the ethers and put it into the physical. We definitely had tried to figure out if there were other spaces in the house in which it could go. And ultimately, both Laura and I thought that the large bedroom on the top floor was going to be the most conducive space in order to allow a full immersive experience.
What did you decide to go with for materials?
Well, the outer shell of it is a wood frame structure. And then we went through and insulated and lined that structure to create a fleshy material and then lined that with red satin so that it still had a slick or wet feel on the inside, but still had the warmness of the uterus, the womb.
Laura, just to explain, you and your husband, Rich, were actually helping with the build-out. How would you rate the degree of difficulty in the process compared with other stuff you've worked on?
Oh, this is a brain bender.
Yes.
It was great. I mean, so we're talking about taking a rectilinear space and turning it into something completely curvilinear and doing it, you know, as efficiently as possible with them using minimal amount of materials, and everything in there is curvy. So yeah, it was definitely took some time and a lot of discussion, but we ended up pushing through making, you know, first we started out with cardboard models and then we pushed into CAD and started working in wood and were able to resolve a lot of it. And we also recognized that the finish of how it was being padded and trimmed in textiles would really address some of the finer points of transition in the space. And Jessica and Sarah did that beautifully.
Well, to me, nothing says femininity like a woman with a drill and a staple gun. So,
oh yeah, Jessica learned about pneumatic tools and she's all in.
I am all in. that air compressed staple gun was fun. That was fun.
Well, I guess in closing, I wanted to ask you both. So the overarching title of the show is The Art of Being Female in America Today. What was it about that question that you found yourself playing with as you were getting ready?
That's a great question. So I really feel that a lot of the work addresses women's concept of their own identity, and especially their identity as women in a society that is constantly telling them to be more perfect than is humanly possible, and tries to get them to conform to a certain sort of good girl, cis normal, you know, hetero middle class version of femininity. Right. And the reality is vastly different. So I felt that it was important to create a platform where women could continue to explore this and express their own narrative instead of buying into and reflecting the narrative that has been marketed to us about who we are supposed to be. And I feel that that is a conversation that is constantly evolving. And the more women from the more backgrounds we get together, the richer that conversation becomes. And that is definitely what has been taking place at Woman House Detroit and will continue to take place at Woman House Detroit as it becomes an artist residency in the future.
Laura, Jessica, thank you so much. We're looking forward to seeing you September 18th for the opening.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
You want to see Woman House Detroit for yourself? You can find the link to reserve your tickets in our show notes. And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside shows at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis. Today's episode was produced by Rachel Ishikawa, Mercedes Mejia, and Mike Blank. Our theme music is by 14KT. Additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.